Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ordinary Council meeting of Brighton for the month of June. And I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawapakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item two is apologies and applications for leave of absence. There are no councillors absent. Item three is confirmation of minutes, and item 3.1 is confirmation of the minute or confirmation of the ordinary council meeting held on the 21st of May. Is there any amendments or discussion? If not, can I have someone move? Moved by Councillor Curran, second by Councillor Irons. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 3.2 is the minutes of the audit panel meeting held on the 15th of March 2024, and included in our agenda and submitted for confirmation. Is there any questions or discussions? If not... Moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor Della Torre. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item four is declaration of interest. Does anyone have an item on the agenda they wish to declare an interest?
Yeah, Mayor, I'll probably have to declare 13.5. God knows why a $66 donation is recorded in our ordinary council meeting. I've got no idea. Surely we've got officers that could delegate a $66 donation.
We can probably discuss that later. Thanks, Councillor Owen. Nothing other? Thank you. Item five is public question time and deputations. I don't believe there are any. Item six is reports from Council. Item 6.1 is the Mayor's communications for the previous period. They're listed on page 5 of our agenda. Has anyone got any questions in regards to any of those items?
I would have thought walking with Peter would have been a...
I probably did it after I put these in.
Would you like to include it, Mayor? I thought that's appropriate.
Yep. And if we can include that Councillor Murtagh, Councillor Owen and Councillor McMaster also attended. Thanks, Councillor Owen. Probably the only thing I'll mention is the meetings with Homes TAS board and their CEO. I think it was clear that the general manager and myself put forward the same position that we have for a long, long period of time, that we are lacking investment in infrastructure surrounding social housing in our municipality. We put that to them. We advised them also that the old model of a third, a third, a third had gone, and most of them were a little bit surprised of that as well. So hopefully we've got a few messages across. And I think they went away with an attitude that they are would join us with any campaigns that we have to improve the lives of those people that are being moved into our municipality and the ones that are already here. It was a good day at the Brighton Community Volunteering Awards. I think that went off well. Well done to you, Ange, and to Kylie, in regards to that and the presentation you put together. So thank you for that. If there's no further questions... Yep.
Can you fill us in about the meetings with our ministers?
With Minister Digan?
That's it, and Minister General.
No, he's only an MP.
Oh, MP, sorry.
Yeah. So, Minister Digan, we spoke very briefly about he was an acting minister for sport as well. So we had some chats about the gymnastics academy with Andrew. We had a lot of discussion in regards to our wish list that we put forward to all the major parties during the election campaign. and asked for him to obviously support us in any way he could in regards to those.
Yeah. I was just going to add, Mayor, Councillor Murtagh, the follow-up letter from the meeting is an attachment in the miscellaneous correspondence, so it pretty much summarises the meeting.
I did read that.
Yeah. If there's no further questions, someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor Owen. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 6.2 is reports from council representatives. Are there any reports to be tabled? Councillor Geard?
Mayor, the invite that the staff sent out for the Broadmarsh Hall extension and major renovations, I attended that. Got quite a shock considering I've been to the hall quite a few times in the past. They got a grant from the federal government of $1.5 million, and the council put in a little small piece, but I won't mention how much. Yes, that was absolutely fantastic what they've done. They've even got a lift up there, which I thought something in the back blocks of Broadmarsh. That's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. What they got the grant for was as a recovery centre in case of emergency. Fires, they had a couple of people staying in caravans, outside toilets, no showers. No, I mean, now it's got the lot. It's got, you know, two lots of multi-purpose showers. It's a bar and everything else. It's really well set up. So yeah, so that I appreciate going, getting the invite for that. So I've seen a lot of people that I knew in the past. So that was really good. The second one today, I attended the Hobart Fire Manager Area Committee. It's quite a good meeting there today, and I got caught up with a lot of other bits and pieces. We talked about the smoke management to do with vineyards, which affects quite a few of our constituents out of Tea Tree and other in other areas, through Brighton as well. So there's, you know, they're going to have held one workshop once before at Richmond. They're going to hold a couple other workshops and notify them all, because there's quite a few things that changed hands and that. So that's a plus, and the ways and means to still do birds. They, like they said, it's better off to have a little bit of smoke affect you then than when a bushfire comes through and you lose the lot. So, which is fair enough, but you've got to sort of balance the two. The other one is review of the Fire Management Area Committee in the state, so that's a yes or no review. So if I put no, I've got to put the reason why it's not there, which I thought was a pretty good way to do a review. Quite a few trails are going to get upgraded in the area. Gunners Coin is going to be a fire, they're going to do a burn off, still try to do it near Gunners Coin. So in our area, we haven't got too much at all. I have asked them to send me the minutes and the air and Midlands, the Fire Management Area Committee, so I've never attended, so because that's more of our worry from that area than Hobart, so I'm going to try and attend a couple of those just as a visitor to see what's going on. So they're the only two that I've attended.
Thanks, Councillor Geard. Is there anything further? Councillor Ryan?
It's on the Thursday, the 13th of June, just a Greater Hobart Homeless Alliance meeting, and yeah, look, it's really interesting. I think they've got some really great things that are falling into place. It's just a great collaboration of a lot of great organisations that are working together really well. And yeah, there's a real feeling of passion behind it, which is really nice. I think sometimes you feel like you're just sitting around kicking tyres for a few hours at a time, and just not like that at all. And I think from our perspective, what's been probably interesting is it's been quite hard to sort of find out how our municipality links in. So in talking to Janine and getting some stats and facts, like there hasn't been a long history of people sleeping rough in the area, but there's probably issues of overcrowding in housing and all sorts of things. So they're looking at ways of collating that data, and specifically I've got a couple of extra meetings arranged with people there just to get some thoughts from them on how we as a council might be able to help analyse or even support what they're doing potentially through our youth worker and a few other things more in the prevention sort of space. But yeah, the way they're looking at collating data would be great to give us a better idea of how many people are actually from our municipality but then sort of emanating into Hobart, because it's the easiest place to be, and there might be some preventative and simple, fairly cheap things we could do as a council to support. So I've pop forward a couple of names of those at the front of the bench that I think might be worth attending a meeting at some point too, particularly some of the stuff around the social housing, because the infrastructure and the support has come up as part of that as well, which could be part of the issue. So I just suggested that element might be worth catching up. But yeah, I think all in all, it's a great group to be a part of and great we're at the table.
Excellent. Mm. Thanks, Councillor Irons. Is there anything further?
I went to a drought resilience workshop in late May. Which was really, really interesting, and everyone thinks of Tasmania as being wet, but we're not. And droughts are going to become more of an issue and more common, So it was about how we deal with that, where we can get funding and what we can, not just funding, but how we cope with it. The people that were running the workshop were interested in coming to have a chat with us, if anyone would be interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they knocked it back, the federal government knocked the water line back that's going to come through at the moment, so we solved all the problems.
It was a very interesting workshop, and I must admit I can't remember all of it, but I kept the paperwork. But if anyone would be interested, they would be happy to come and speak to us. I can give you the card.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Curran. There's nothing further. Can I have someone move that those three reports be received? Moved by Councillor McMaster, seconded by Councillor Irons. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 7 is miscellaneous correspondence, and there's a list of six pieces of correspondence that are included in your agenda. Item 8 is notification of council workshops, and was one workshop on the 4th of June. Attendance and apologies are noted in our agenda. Item 9 is notices of a motion, and item 9.1 is a condolence motion for Mr. Tony Foster, AM, OAM, 1943 to 2024. So what I'd like to do is I'll step down from this chair and hand over to the Deputy Mayor to chair this particular part of the meeting. Do you want to sit up here, Barb? Or?
Oh, I'm happy to stay.
Yeah.
You're fine from there, I think, aren't you?
Yep.
Up to you.
Yeah, come and sit in my spot. It's nice and warm.
I like it.
Yeah.
Is daunting. Get your glasses?
No, I've got these ones. That's why I can read.
Councillor Gray, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to move the following motion, that Brighton Council acknowledges the life and passing of Mr Tony Foster, AM, OAM, 1943 to 2024. Tony made a significant contribution and had a major impact on the Brighton municipality as mayor and councillor over a period of 34 years. More than happy to move that motion be debated.
I'll second that.
Thank you. If I may.
Yes, certainly.
Thank you. What I'll just do is read out the statement that's been prepared. I think it's... I just thought it was appropriate to acknowledge Tony for the years of service. On behalf of Brighton Council, it was a great sadness in May that I extended our sincere condolences to the family and friends of Mr. Tony Foster, who passed away on the Monday, the 27th of May, 2024. Tony served the Brighton Council as mayor and councillor for 34 years before his retirement in June 2021. He was mayor for an incredible 28 of those years. Tony worked tirelessly for the communities of the Brighton municipality. The fact that Tony was mayor for a continuous period of 28 years is testimony to the level of support he received from our community and his strong ability to represent the people of our area in a truly kind, fair and understanding manner. Tony was a very accomplished leader with the ability to ensure that decisions of council were seen through to the end. His focus on achieving council's goals and objectives, even in the face of challenges, was unwavering and determined. Under Tony's leadership as mayor, Brighton experienced exponential growth, many improved and expanded services to the community, innovations were championed, and council was managed in a highly efficient and cost-effective manner. Without question, Tony leaves a legacy of a long list of achievements that strengthened our local economy and made Brighton a better place to live and work. Under Tony's leadership, Brighton Council developed from a quiet rural municipality to a vibrant, diverse and rapidly growing municipality that we see continue to prosper and progress today. We say a very sad farewell to a person of action, vision and humanity, but his memory and legacy will live in our communities. We send heartfelt wishes of love and support to his wife Nolene and all of his beloved family members and friends. I think the key point there is that Tony did represent this council extremely well. This council, over many, many years, made decisions around this table, and Tony took those decisions and he represented our views very, very well out there in the public. So I commend this motion to you all.
Would anyone else like to speak?
Yes, I'll speak. Knowing Tony all that period when he came on council, when I was really on council, look, he had a lot of visions for the future of this municipality and actually the whole of Tasmania. So what some of the things we actually undertaken here, other councils took on board and did that. You know, like the fair rating system is really pushing the thing. That and the bridge, unfortunately, it's really sad that he never got to see the bridge completely finished. But he had the legacy of the bypass and other aspects as well. So. Of course, it's probably his work commitments. He was a diplomat in his life, and he's also a travel agent. So I think that's probably the reason why he had that vision for our municipality going forward. He's seen what the rest of the world was doing, and not to sit back on the haunches and just sort of go day by day. That he wanted our municipality to prosper, and his legacy has come around this table now. We've actually undertaken some of the work that he's done. We're looking for the future, looking for the betterment of our municipality and our ratepayers as well, and the general betterment of Tasmanians. So yeah, I commend this letter. You know, really sad to miss such a person. I was a close friend. We probably had a few clashes occasionally, but that's like anything in life. But afterwards, yep, great friends. Yeah, and if you had any problems, he'd always ring me up and come around and see me and you go. So he was really good.
Thank you, Peter. Would anyone else? Does anyone else? Not. In that case, I will move the motion be accepted. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Gray.
Thanks to the Deputy Mayor for that. Appreciate it. Moving on, item 10 on our agenda is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items. Item 11 is reports from committees. There were no committee meetings held in the month of June. Item 12 is council acting as a planning authority. There are no planning items on our agenda this evening. Item 13 is reports from officers, and item 13.1 is our grants and donations for 2024-25. And I'll hand over to Angela.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our grants and donations were workshopped recently with councillors who were able to attend, and so the recommendations here are based on that workshop. As you will have seen, we had a budget of $75,000 in total. Based on the grants that have been awarded, it's a total amount of $62,600, which gives us that little bit of leeway there for the quick response grants and any additional incidental grants that might come along throughout the rest of that financial year. A couple of key things to note. We have said that we will work with the Speaking Made Easy Brighton group to really define what their project is and what they would like to do, so we could consider that a little more carefully before awarding that one. And we also have donated the defibrillator to Zudu on the condition that it is noted by them in some way by sign or plaque that it's been donated by Brighton Council. So that's our grants and donations.
Councillors, any questions? Any amendments?
Moved in line with the recommendation. Yeah.
Thanks, Councillor Owens. The grants and donations requested as allocated be adopted for the 2024-25 financial year has been moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Della Torre. Is there any discussion or debate? Would you like to speak to the motion? Councillor Owen, do you want to speak to the motion or...
No, happy no, for I think it's, we've workshopped it and everybody, happy with it.
If I can ask about the under the rainbow, we need to have some sort of receipts and all that too.
Noted.
Right, running a organisation, right, they should gather all the receipts and show it as.
Yep. Yep. I believe that that particular grant is going to be, the receipts are going to be handed to our staff, and then there's going to be a reimbursement happen. So all receipts will be presented. If there's no receipts, there is no money, John.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you. We have a... Aaron, do you wish to acknowledge anything?
I don't have much to say. I think thank Angela and her team for the work they put in to the recommendation and the suggestions that were made during the workshop. I know it's a lot of work to manage a grants program and appreciate that work. I think we've got a good range of grant recipients and spending the money that we have in a very sensible manner, so I appreciate that.
Thanks, Councillor De La Torre. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.2 is the LGBTIQA plus community consultation. James, you handling this or Ange?
Probably Ange, I
Hand
think.
Hand over to Ange. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This one this was discussed back in December 2023 when we... had Mr. Rodney Croom visit and give us a briefing on work that we could do in this area with the community, the LGBTIQA plus community. At that time, post the briefing, councillors discussed the option of us really, as a first step, understanding what those experiences are of people in the LGBTIQA plus community in our area. So before that we develop an action plan or move forward, that we actually understand what the experiences are of people living in our community. We then requested a proposal from Dr. Ruby Grant, who has conducted extensive research in this area and would work with us to do that community consultation, given her expertise. And we submitted a grant to DPAC for their LGBTIQA plus grant program. Unfortunately, we weren't successful in that grant application, mainly because the pool of money is quite small, as you will have seen from the report. There was $30,000 that is siloed for a special project, which left $30,000 in total for all of the applications. And when I spoke to DPAC, they felt that, like Kingborough Council did, this first step should be something that Council does on its own as such, as a first step, and then we can look at what we need to do further down the track. So on that basis, and if you had a look at the proposal that Dr. Ruby Grant provided, it was the option one was actually far more than the $13,000 that we have here. But on discussion with her, she agreed that with the support of council staff and working with her, that we could actually do the project for the $13,000, hence why it's a lot less than what was outlined in the original proposal from her. We're actually proposing here that we use some budget that is left over in the promotion of the municipality to cover that $13,000 to do this initial community consultation work.
Thanks, Ange. Councillors, any questions of Angela in regards to what we have?
I guess I have a
Councillor
question,
Owen.
Mayor, and it's probably directed towards the General Manager and Ange. Is this really core council business to have a put money into this sort of thing?
Probably not for me to say, Councillor Owen. I mean, that's really what we're putting before you guys. You make these sorts of decisions. It's pretty hard to define core council business. We do a lot of things that one person would argue are not, and another person would argue are. So it's really in your hands if that is a feeling that you have. I think from our perspective at the staff level and community development, it's an important issue in the community, and people are looking to councils to pursue these sorts of actions to support the community?
Are we not already supporting?
Sorry?
Are we not already supporting?
Well, you maybe want to add to that, Ange, but this is a consultation process. It's about council being informed before making future decisions.
Yeah, that.
And, you know, we do consultation in a whole range of areas. It's always an expensive process. It's an expensive part of every master plan or park design or anything we do.
I have concerns with the consultation, given page 129. Depending on advice of the council, the consultation could include the following demographics. And there's so many dot points here, but it doesn't seem to include the entire municipality. It's only based on those who are identify as LGBTQA+, and I think equality is a state of being equal, but equal rights, equal in status, equal in opportunity. Where do we not provide safe and welcoming and inclusive spaces, infrastructure and facilities within our council? I do believe that we are providing that, and I feel as though we're setting someone or something apart from others, that's segregation. And item 13.2 to me clearly segregates our LGBTQI+ community from our community as a whole. So I'm really concerned about that.
Through you, Ms. Mayor, first of all, just to answer your first point around the objectives here, the clear objectives are to understand the experiences of that LGBTQIA+ community. So our first step is to focus just on that community, because the discussion at that workshop was that we don't really understand what somebody in that community's experiences are within our area. We've never asked. And so this is our opportunity to understand those experiences. Post that, depending on what might come out of it, of course, if we were to do any other actions, the consultation would be broader than that. If we were to develop an action plan, it would go out to all of community for feedback. In terms of us showing that we are a welcoming, supporting and safe community, we don't actually know that at this stage. And the reason that we are at this point is because we have had a couple of people approach us to say that they would like us to look at this because they didn't feel that we were taking a leadership role to show that in this space. So it wasn't that we just decided to do this off our own bat. It was because we were asked by members of our community to do it.
Just a question. I think we should go broader, because I've got a couple of friends who live in Boyer involved in this, and they're going to miss out on that. You're only getting the factual from a few people down there. There's quite a few, probably us know other people, and maybe that they should. We should probably, you know, let you know about them as well. It's just broadening one area. It's not fair on everyone. You're leaving them people out, so they're leaving them out on the limb. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. You know, if we're not going broader for the whole municipality, just. We concentrate too much in one area.
I believe it's the Brighton Council area.
Yeah, I know, but it's just when you're saying about this one area, so that's fine. So just how do we get out to those people?
So that's where we fall on Ruby's experience of having done that Tasmanian-wide and in regional areas. So it will be advertised. We will be inviting people within. Yeah.
That's what I was really worried about. How do you get out? Because most of them people, they sort of isolate themselves from everybody.
Yeah, so we'll be using family and friends of the LGBTIQA.
Cover me question.
Thank you. Can I ask, is there any other questions? Councillor, sorry.
The discussions at the workshop, Angela, I actually thought that was the online survey and stuff, it was something that we would do internally as a council and not sort of not have that done externally. I thought that was something we were going to do with our own resources.
So we will that's why we're down to the $13,000 mark. So our resources will be used from the operational perspective of the survey will sit with us, but the understanding of how we get that out there and the connectivity with the community and getting people to respond to that survey, designing the actual questionnaire itself, that will be the advice that we get from Ruby.
Is those surveys, we're probably not reinventing the wheel here, are we? They're surveys that have been done by other councils already, aren't they?
I'm not sure about other councils, but definitely Ruby has worked in the Tasmanian community, so she has designed surveys that she knows work in this space. Yeah.
Any further questions? We have a recommendation on page 13 of our agenda. Change my glasses again. Which reads that Council approve a budget of $13,184 to the LGBTIQA plus community consultation research in 24-25 in partnership with Dr. Ruby Grant from La Trobe University. This is to be funded from the promotion of the municipality budget. We have that recommendation. Moved by Councillor Irons, seconded by Councillor Della Torre. We're now in debate. I'll hand over to Councillor Irons.
Thank you. I think it's a really important thing to support personally. I think, it's very much, something that is about understanding what's happening around us and doing that research. I think it's a great choice with Dr. Ruby Grant as well. I think someone who's done studies in Tasmania already and comes with that experience means we're not paying for a whole lot of things that they've already learned. I think the price, given the price of any consultation, is very, very reasonable with the council support as well. And I think, when we're sort of discussing is this what the LGBTIQA plus community actually want, when a representative body of them is coming forward and saying that it's something that we need to do, I think that ticks the box for me to say that it is wanted by the community. And I think choking on myself. I think you don't know what you don't ask sometimes, and I don't see that there's any harm that can come from this personally. I think, it certainly fits in for me with our strategic plan and the benefit of the community, which is what we're here to do. So I would argue, for me personally, it is core business. Whether it sort of fits the definition or not, I think it's really important. I think it's not just the LGBTIQA plus community, it's any group of people that feels that they need our support. That's what we're here to do. And I think if we were ever approached by any group of people, be it a sports club or a school group or whatever it was, that felt that maybe we weren't taking a leadership role, that we would look at it just as seriously. So I feel it's really important on a personal level. That would be my opinion. I'm very, very happy to move the motion. I think it's a very good price for what we would get out of it.
Thanks, Councillor Irons. Councillor Della Torre.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more to add. Thanks, Councillor Irons, for his contribution. I think the only thing that I'd add is that there are significant stories that we don't know yet that will come out in following this survey, and I think we can't, in good conscience, make decisions about how we handle the lives and welfare of these people without having the background knowledge as to what that looks like for them. I think $13,000 from this year's budget is a small price to pay to get that evidence that we need to then use our funds in a more strategic manner in the future. So I commend the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Torre.
I think it's a very cheap price for consultation research. We normally are paid now three times that figure, so I totally agree with it. We need to probably have to look at that sort of aspect. Maybe we should look in the future of immigrants here from different ethnic backgrounds, because that's another problem that's coming up in the area, but that's down the track. So that's why I'm sort of supporting it, so at least we know which direction we're heading.
Thanks,
trying to keep a fair bit of money in-house, which is what I like, so that's really good.
Thanks, Councillor Gidd. Anyone else
to
speak?
I would just like to say that I support this motion as well. I think there are people out in our society, in our communities, who don't feel like they are included. Obviously, I think part of that is because we don't understand. So if anything that can help us understand and help these people feel more included, I think that's a really, really good thing. And I've looked up Ruby Grant and what I've read about her. She seems to really, really understand what she's doing. So I'm extremely happy to support this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Owen.
Yes, Mayor, I feel I can't support the motion. I don't believe we should have a policy for any one section of the community. Surely we are an all-inclusive local government area. Brighton takes action in embracing diversity by supporting small grants to local groups, similar to Under One Rainbow, for example. Council also supports, recognises and acknowledges the LGBTIQA plus community by engaging, involving advocates and supporters at council-run community events. I believe this is a broader issue and not specifically should be addressed by our council. At a time when many households are struggling, expenditure of $13,000 for something that is in my opinion, non-core council business is neither prudent nor necessary.
Thank you, Councillor.
So I can't support the motion on that basis.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I too won't be supporting the recommendation. I do think there is, we probably had some funds available that were granted to us for health by the federal government, which you probably, this would have been suitable for this consultation, and I think we probably should have had them put aside for in trust for something similar. I do think, like Councillor Owen has said, that we are inclusive, and I do think that that if we're talking about a couple of people coming to council and for us to react with $13,000 of consultation, I think we probably could spend that in broader terms on other health and community aspects such as alcohol and drugs in our community. So I won't be supporting the recommendation for those reasons.
Thanks, Councillor Whelan. Anyone else wish to speak? I will show my hand. I will be supporting the recommendation. We have been approached by this particular organisation or group of individuals in our municipality. We went to the... we had Rodney Croom down here to explain the situation. I think he was told us very, very clearly that people in the LGBTIQA plus community down here in our municipality had issues. There was some fear. There was some... and we need to act upon that and assist to that end to make sure that everyone in this community feels safe. We've spent money in the past and this is probably drawing a long bow, but we have a Aboriginal Reconciliation Committee which we spent money on for that particular section of our community as well. And I think that was money extremely well spent as well in connecting with that section of our community. And I think we should continue to do this type of activity going on for other sections of our community that feel that they need to be heard, need to be recognised, and in this case, need to be understood. Thank you. Is there anyone else wish to speak? If not, I'll give Councillor Irons, you have the opportunity to close.
No, I'm happy to say what I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. With that in mind, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And against?
No.
No.
Thank aye. You. John, were you an aye?
Nope.
You were against?
Undecided.
Okay. Which means that it's a no.
Yep.
So those are recorded. Thank you. Motion is passed. Thank you very much. Moving on. Item 13.3 is the Brighton Regional Sports Centre upgrade to sporting facilities. And I'll hand over to Callum.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, Matt. So just a bit of context. So to be honest, we grappled a little bit with what to recommend for this one, receiving the request from the club. The Brighton Robins Football Club recently wrote to council seeking a financial and in-kind contribution towards construction of foundations and footings of netting and interchange boxes for the Thompson Oval at Bonfield. At the last state election, the club received a grant from the state government for $145,000 to upgrade these facilities to a higher standard as the club moves into the Premier League. Council have been provided with costings for the equipment purchase at a value of $100,000. AFL TAS have also advised that they may be in a position to contribute towards these upgrades, and we've costed the contribution request from the club at $23,000. It's worth noting that there's no budget allocation for the contribution in the upcoming budget. Excuse me. And if council approves the contribution, then funding would need to be removed from one of our other capital projects. Staff understand that the upgrades are likely to be able to be completed using the current funding that the club has available. The club is seeking funding from a number of different sources at present to undertake as many upgrades to the facilities at Bonfield as possible in conjunction with the grant works coinciding with their move to the Premier League. So if council were to grant the request, the club will seek to use any leftover funding to upgrade the outdated ticket box at the entrance. So I'll hand back to you, Matt.
Thank you. Councillors, open the floor to questions. Callum.
Excuse me.
If I may, Mr. Mayor.
Della Torre.
I guess my question would be, if they've got sufficient funds through the grant, where did the request come from for us to get involved?
Yeah, so it was just a written request from the club. And I believe that they're hoping to make the grant stretch as far as they can with additional upgrades to facilities.
The other question I've got, did you know they were putting in for the grant?
So the letter received from the club didn't allude to the fact that they'd received the grant, but we were aware that a grant was received and looked into the amount to provide advice.
It's a shame.
I'd assume that it was part of the state election campaign where they were promised this particular thing along with Tea Tree Hall, for example, plus the promises that we've been advised that are all approved and forthcoming once the budget is approved in September or October, whenever that is going to be. Callum, I've got a... Sorry, Greg, go. Councillor Ryan.
I just wondered, because obviously it's a lot of money for interchange sort of boxes. I don't know a lot what's involved, and I think everyone at the table knows how much I support local sports and the value to the community. And obviously when you are stepping up to the Premier League as well, it's also about attracting players and all that sort of thing and having the good facilities. I just sort of wondered whether there's a standard that's, like there's guidelines on where you need to meet and, whether there'd be a chance to sort of see the plans and see that we're not going above and beyond just because the money's there. And
So I can speak to that. So the club have received advice from AFL TAS around the standards required and the quote and the equipment that they've given us the quotes for. That's all in line with the specific standards for what they require. So we don't think that they're going over and above the requirements of what they need to install. And if anything, they're probably going for something that's reasonable value for money.
Yeah, sure.
But, I suppose kind of going back to the funding that they have available.
And just a follow-up on that, I mean, I just sort of wonder with some of these things as well, and again, it's very hard, but you're not sort of at the table, with the club, but obviously I think with sporting clubs that I've been involved with, when we do shout-outs for things like concrete and people to help lay the concrete and do the building and this and that, the in-kind support you can get is phenomenal. I'd be very interested to hear if there's been any form of campaign to see if other support can be found. And then we look at filling the gap, or whether it's just straight up, can we get the money and get it built? Because I feel like if that's not being done, for swapping maybe a logo on a jumper or something like that, because that also builds support within a community. It's not just like a business that gives, the whole club then wants to support them when they get their slab done, which benefits that business. So I actually think there's a bouncing sort of return, and I'd just be interested to know if those avenues have been explored prior. Yes, have you heard of anything like any campaigns or anything like that, or not really? A bit hard to know.
I think that the club are intending to pull resources from membership. Obviously, there are a lot of trades and that sort of thing involved in the club, and understand that they'll be making as much use of those connections as they can to reduce the price. Mm. Yeah.
Can we do a lot of it in kind instead of
So
it's pretty straight, you know, design and the footing. I know you've got an avid engineer to think
about. Yeah, that's the thing. So there are two things. We need to have an engineer design because the poles that will support the netting, they're pretty significant footings that need to be built. The concreting, we would put it out to the contractor. We wouldn't mix that and do that ourselves. There's a direct cost. There is, and then the staff time is what you'd consider as the in-kind support towards the project.
Thank you. Councillor Owen?
I get very nervous about statements. The cost of purchasing all necessary materials is estimated to be approximately $100,000. And then it says quotes of these materials have been provided to council by the club. Well, there's three different factors in there. Which is the...
Yeah, so the club have provided quotes. Some of the costs are estimated. They were estimated based upon the grant application that they or the application that they'd made for the state funding, and so yes, the costs have been provided, but there is still an element of estimating what they will be until you finalise that with contractors.
Just a question also:
Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Callum, is there a building and planning application?
So there will definitely be a building requirement for these, and believe that there will be some planning, but...
There's probably no permit required.
No permit required, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And that's would be part of our in-kind?
Yeah, so that part of the request is assistance working through that process and... Yeah, for those fees to be used as part of the building application. Yeah.
Can I go to Councillor Geard first?
Oh, sorry.
The only question was, I'm a little bit dubious about us pouring the footings. That's all right. In design, fitting the engineers, outside civil engineers to tick it off, getting all that done. The in kind here with if they need planning approval and everything else, that's fine. I agree with that. But I'm just worried about that we're getting involved with the concreting when they seem to have enough money there to cover that. So. That's
an aspect of it.
Anywhere else, help them out as much as we can.
Councillor Curran.
I'm just wanting to know, these upgrades that they're doing, are they necessary for their becoming part of the SFL?
I don't know whether it's a strict requirement of being in the Premier League, but the facilities that are currently at the grounds are in desperate need of upgrade. For them to be able to function as a club in the Premier League, they need to be undertaken.
Thank you.
And councillors, we obviously have a recommendation here. We also have an alternative, if you see fit, that we could defer this and ask the footy club to provide us with more information in regards to exactly what, in addition to what they've listed for the 100,000-odd, what additional they are going to do up at Pontville Park on our land. So you've got an option there too to ask for more information if that is what you see fit. But Councillor Della Torre?
If I could just have one more stab at Callum.
That's a bad choice of words.
Yeah.
You mentioned this isn't a budgeted figure.
Yes.
What would those funds be taken from
that's something that we haven't looked at yet. We won't look at that until there's a decision from council to remove. But I suppose that it opens the door to reviewing what's in the capital listing. There's nothing there that springs to mind for that $23,000.
Yep.
And you'd be looking at removing footpaths. Sorry, not doing footpath upgrades or something along those lines, just to try and find the funding.
Thank you.
Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Another go. is this something that would have come through the users group for that area, or is it something that should have?
Well, it came directly from the club as a request to council. Yeah. The user group without the cricket club... you're talking about the Pontville users group?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's potential that it could come through that avenue, but I suppose with any club, we do get requests from clubs directly.
I just generally thought that would be the optimal way to do it, sort of thing, go through the user group.
Councillors, we have a recommendation listed on page 15, and also I've suggested that there is an option to defer this particular and ask for more information.
Move the option.
Yep. No, I have to word it up now, Councillor.
The option is that we defer it to find out more information from the football club on the aspects of the amount of money they're spending on the grant they receive and any other area that the money's going in. And what in kind can council help them in? So I won't ask to say about money, just in kind. So
I suggest we could probably just keep that simple and subject to more information. Rod, we've heard everything that people have said tonight.
Mm. Yeah, because it's lacking a lot of information. We haven't got any specifics.
Councillor Geard has moved that we defer and request more information from the Brighton Football Club. Is there a seconder for that? Seconded by Councillor Irons. Thank you. Is there any discussion or debate?
Just for me, I think, I desperately want to support it, so I think anything that helps is good. But two things for mine. I mean, first is the fact that I'm still sitting here on the fence means we probably need more discussion. For me personally, I need more information, more discussion. It should feel clear in our mind if we're going to do $23,000. I'm not exactly sure what more information I want yet, but I guess having that chance to stew on it would be really good. And secondly, I think it is hard without knowing where that money comes from. I appreciate that from Councillor De La Torre. Because you've got to know what you're trading off here at the end of the day, I think, is really important. And I'm very hopeful that a way can be found, and I think it will be, but just for the moment, I think being comfortable and doing things the right way is important.
Sure thing. Through you, Matt, if we do go away and seek additional information from the club, suggest that when we come back to council, if this is the motion that's passed, that we can also present the options of, you know, what needs to be removed from the capital budget.
Just probably a supplementary question, if I may.
Sure.
And I know we're in debate, but obviously there are capital works programs that may not actually get done this particular financial year.
Yes.
Is that something that that could be utilised? I mean.
We
normally roll those over, though, don't we?
Yeah. Normally, if the funding's not spent, it'll be carried forward as work in progress. Yep.
Yeah.
Through you as well, sorry. Yeah, another option when we consult with them that could give you some comfort is council could move a motion to provide an allocation of that amount, but have a proviso subject to ongoing costings through the project and whether the full amount is actually required. So provide that as a backup for the project, but not as a guarantee. Those funds, but we can bring that back.
I'm actually, I tend to agree with Councillor Irons here. You know, I'm not disagreeing with the money, but there's not enough information there. Like, they might want a little bit more. And then, look, if it came to the crunch and the project, if the project is well worth it, I totally agree with what's there as a total eyesore and everything else. It's not fit, it's not even safe. Things like that, you know, I'd be quite happy if we put it up or put it down, but there's really not enough. I haven't got enough information there. I'm trying to build a house virtually, and you know, this is a rough estimate, but I don't know what the house is going to look like. Is it a little shed or is it a big shed, you know, a big house? So yeah, how much is going to cost? Where's the money going? So if you've got the facts in front of you where each little piece is, then you can say, yes, this is sufficient. I'll be quite happy if they come back and look, this is the amount of money we need, definitely. And the tally's up, yes, I'd tick it off. But if not, we'll still do things in kind anyway.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Whelan.
Mr. Mayor, the same with Greg. It'd be great to tick all the boxes and give them the money. Could we have a bit of a rundown as to how much the football club has been provided over the last couple of two or three years as well? Because there's been a few grants and funding. So,
I think there's been three, from my memory, two which are sort of ongoing each grant process, and there was one additional one that we gave them at some point during last year. So certainly we'll ask staff to pass that on to all councillors.
But we don't give them too many grants for building. I think it's grants for actually running the club, so it's a bit different.
Councillor, is there anything further? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 13.4 is the draft Greening Brighton strategy, which obviously was a reason for our workshop 2 weeks ago. David, hand over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, obviously we had the workshop a couple of weeks ago, and it was the report is very thorough, and they're obviously very, very knowledgeable at what they do. So just a few key changes to the strategy, or the updated Greening Brighton strategy. Obviously setting a target now for up to 25% cover, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a 1% increase a year, which we discussed has been quite ambitious. Greater consideration for maintenance and climate resilience in what we're planting, transitioning to native tree species, multi-layer plantings, which will increase biodiversity and density rather than just single tree, straight tree plantings, using smaller stock to get better bang for our buck, which we may need to do some trials with due to a few issues we've had with vandalism in the past. We'll see how that goes. And also improving our data collection and monitoring. So at this stage, it's just endorsing it for public consultation, which will consist of basically putting it out there on social media and other channels, websites, and seeking feedback.
Thanks, David. Councillors?
No questions.
Any questions?
Yes, please. I noticed a couple of times during the report it mentions target areas of Bridgewater and Gatebrook. I'm just wondering if that could be extended to include Herdsman's Cove.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Note that.
Just a probably explanation of the question. I was surprised how thorough it was. The thing I like about it is some of the native species, and I don't know if you realise, but the trees, for instance, the fire station and the Brighton UCS building, we have hell of a problem with leaves. They're blocking that gutter we talked about, blocks the gutter and everything else. It's absolute. They're lovely. I love them because in wintertime there's no leaves. It's fine. But they're such a pain in the backside. So when I see the natives there, and a lot of constituents out there come to me, I probably don't know through Barbara as well, Councillor Allen, they come to you and say, why are you planting these exotic trees? And I like them, but yes, you need balance, the two of them. So yeah, I after reading the report, I thought, gee, that was one of the most thorough reports I've seen. It's given me quite a few hints from my own place as well. So
excellent.
Good go.
Councillors, any further questions?
No.
If not, we have a recommendation on page 19, which is Council endorse the draft Greening Brighton strategy for public consultation.
Move.
Sorry, and that is moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Curran. Is there any discussion or debate? Councillor.
I just want to say, to back it up, I thought it was brilliant. It was one of my favourite things that I've seen since I've been here on Council, I think, for the good of our community, for the environment, and just the whole direction that it headed. I think we could become real leaders in this space as a Council, and I think there'll certainly be some challenges ahead, but I thought it was ambitious and fantastic, and yeah, really, really glad to be part of it.
Mind you, it's only just a continuation of something that we had going a few years ago, and there was a bit of a lapse. And it's good that it's been resurrected.
Absolutely, I agree with Councillor Owen that it is just an ongoing thing, but I think the beauty of it is, as probably Councillor Gidd mentioned, the moving towards native species and small tube stock rather than the bigger trees. So I think we'll get more bang for our buck, and I think developers will be happier putting that smaller tube stock in their developments too. And we won't get much of a backlash from them arguing about that. And to be honest, I've never seen so many eucalypts in all my life. The names held within the report, it's pretty extensive. So thank you. Is there anything further from anyone else?
I just wanted to say it was a brilliant report. And as Councillor Gears said, it made me want to go home and start planting some native trees. It was a really, really good report. I was very impressed with the whole report.
Councillor Della.
I would just echo the sentiments of other councillors in relation to the report, and just urge the community to work with us to protect these plantings. We're going to be spending significant dollars for the improvement of our community, and I just hope they look after them with us.
Thank you. Anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. We'll just note that Councillor Owen has left the room for this particular item. And item 13.5 is the Old Beach Fire Brigade free tip entry. hand over to Gillian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we've been approached by the Isle Beach Fire Brigade. They're doing a bit of a working bee on the 6th of July, and they would just like to have free entry to the waste transfer at a value of $66. I appreciate what Councillor Owen was saying previously about bringing this to council. In the eyes of being transparent, the request was made by Councillor Owen. That's why it has been brought to council. But also we probably do need to look at a policy for waste transfer station entry. Previously people are given vouchers. We haven't done, I don't think we've brought that to council at the moment, so that will have to be done the next few weeks. But yeah, it's probably something that we do have to look at. So I think the Isle Beach Fire Brigade does a really good job within the area, and it's not much to ask to support them by giving them free waste transfer station entry.
Thank you. Any questions first?
Sorry. Is it worth reaching out to the Bridgewater and Brighton brigades and getting some worth out of $66 turning to $200 or whatever and giving them the same opportunity?
Thank you. We had a recommendation which has been moved by Councillor Geddon, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any further debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. Thank you. Councillor Owen.
Back is out all the chickies.
Looks like he doesn't want to come back out.
Here he is.
Item 13.6 is Brighton Council Budget 24-25, and I'll hand over to Gillian for a summary. Thank you.
So we've previously had the budget workshop. We've had the budget adopted in principle last council meeting, and this is just to formally adopt our budget. So we've been lucky enough to, as per the report, receive several grant funding within the last few years, which has meant that we've had a lot of jobs brought forward, which would have been pushed out to be in our 10-year asset management plan. The cost of these jobs, we found that there's been an increase in materials and services, so we've normally been able to absorb that. It's no longer financially sustainable to do this. So it is proposed that the residential properties will be increased by $91 per year, which I appreciate is really hard at this time with everybody struggling. It is, I think it does work out to be $2 or something, $1.75 or something a week. And also the rates resolution is put up there for council to approve as well.
$1.75. I knew it was. Councillors, any questions of Gillian?
No, I'm happy to move it. Oh, sorry, Michael.
Sorry, one question. We workshop the budget and the increases to the industrial rate.
So the industrial rate will also be. Sorry, I haven't popped that in my report. I've just concentrated on the residential occupied property. So the industrial rate will be increased over the next 5 years to be brought in line with the commercial rate. So I think the cents in the dollar for that one was 9.49.
So we've got general industrial and light industrial.
So it was a general industrial.
So, the question is, are we...
It's both.
Both?
Yeah.
Yeah, both.
It's 9.94.
9.94, thank you. Over the next 5 years, and that'll bring it up level with the commercial rate in 5 years' time.
Okay. Is that something that will just will be triggered each year, or something we'll just readdress and have a discussion about?
We'll readdress, but when we workshop it each year, we'll reflect last year. So I think it's tricky legally to... set your budget in place. You obviously have a long-term plan.
We have a plan
reflected in there. And we obviously have our minutes and records. So.
Yep.
But as you know, you may choose to change it next year, and the conditions may change as well.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of the example that was put up on the board at that workshop, and it was a fairly large industrial site.
Yeah.
And there was a significant increase over a few years.
Mm.
And I just want to be able to justify that increase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as well with the amount of money that we're spending within the industrial hub, with the new truck stop, the new signage, and is it the strategy, the industrial master plan?
Landscape.
They are. We are spending a lot of money in that area at the moment, and their rates probably do need to come up to reflect that and be brought in line with your normal corner shop.
So, and that was the underlying sort of progress of that we were bringing them into line with the commercial rates.
Correct.
So commercial are paying,
yep.
Industrial are paying, yep. Eventually about the same.
Exactly, and I think over the next 12 months we'll be doing a lot of sort of modelling and work on the way our rates are calculated as well. So we'll bring that back to councillors through workshops.
Through you, Mayor, it was also, if you recall, we showed what surrounding councils are with industrial and commercial, and we were dramatically lower than all of those. It was a longer-term process of creeping those up to be a bit closer to comparable councils.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Whelan. Is there any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation to adopt the 2024-25 budget and approve the 2024-25 rating resolution, which is in our agenda from page 23 to page 29. Is someone prepared to move?
Very happy to remove it.
Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Would anyone like to speak to the motion?
No, all I would like to do is thank Julian. It was a great report, really easy to read. Very understandable, which is not great for me because I'm not a great mathematician. So, yeah, great work, Jill. Thank you.
You're here.
Thank you. Anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on. Item 13.7 is the draft 24-25 annual plan. And over to the General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is the annual plan, which is obviously prepared to mirror the budget that you've just approved. So it really is effectively reflecting our commitments and our budget in a different form that we provide under legislation and is easily accessible for the public on the website in an easily understood way. So unless there's any questions, that's a summary.
Councillors, any questions of the draft annual plan? If not, there's a recommendation that the annual plan 24-25 be adopted in accordance with Section 71 of the Local Government Act 1993, and that a copy be forwarded to the Director of Local Government and the Director of Public Health. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor Geard. Is there any discussion or debate? Anyone wish to speak for or against the motion?
Just speak to say that I really appreciate the plain English approach to the annual plan. I think it's great to see our long-term vision coming into focus on a yearly basis, and I really appreciate the regular reports we get on how we're tracking against that. So thank the team for the effort.
Thank you. Anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14 is questions on notice. There are no questions on notice for the June meeting, and that brings our meeting to an end. Thank you very much for your attendance.